The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woohoo!
It is hump day. Good morning on October the 22nd here. KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Linda's on her way back to from Sacramento. We got a real busy show today, so we're going to be hopping into it. But good morning, Bad Bob. What's the weather look like?
Partly sunny, high near 70, 50% chance of rain tonight with low around 55, high around 65 tomorrow. Precipitation chance around 80%, depending on where you are right now. 51 degrees in Reading. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Where? With today's temperature, our customers are warm friends. Senior and Veterans Discounts, locally owned and operated. Give them a call at 365-3793. Are you sleeping better there, Bad Bob, with the weather?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking, Bob, because we're moving microphones around right now. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Linda and I noticed is even when it's cooler, if it's hot, it makes no difference with our sleep number bed and our sleep number setting. My sleep number setting is 45, and now with the new Sleep IQ technology, the sleep number bed helps me sleep better because it tells me if I'm on the right number or not with sleep number. Where can you find a sleep number bed? Well, how about heading down to our sleep number store in the Target Shopping Center? Go down and talk to Brian and Janice, and you'll be happy that you did. It's not going to be anything better. It's rated number one in the country with Consumer Magazine, and you can find them now at just $999.98 with the Sleep IQ technology for the C2 Queen mattress bed. Sleep number. Okay, we've got here our friends, or everybody's our friends around here for Yes on B. I'm here with Joe Giamani. Did I pronounce that right?
Comenti.
I'm sorry. I just can't read my own writing. Don Cingrani.
That's correct.
Okay, and Rocky Slaughter. Not Rocky Sullivan.
There we go.
You know, I used to call him Rocky Sullivan because I watched too many of these old movies with James Cagney in it. And the guy's name was Rocky Sullivan, and it was Public Enemy number one. Not you, though, right? Okay. Good morning. It's getting close here for the election.
Yeah, we got about 2 weeks to go. We've got a lot of momentum going into the election.
2 weeks from yesterday, in fact.
Yes, exactly. So there's a lot of energy coming into the campaign. We're really excited. We got a lot of signs placed around town, a lot of signs. I'm sure you've seen them. They're very beautiful and blue.
These blue signs, right?
Yep.
The ones that you can find everywhere.
Exactly.
Hey, something happened. Let's get to that one right away. Front page news today. There was an offer for $1 million offered on Turtle Bay land. Joe, what's going on this one? I know what the lawyer, our city attorney, thinks. But $1 million offer for the land down there.
Well, as far as the builders exchange is concerned, all we really want is for the land to be in private hands. Our understanding of the situation is Turtle Bay, and Turtle Bay is the one that's building the hotel, no one else. Turtle Bay can build a hotel as long as the land is not publicly held. It's financially viable for them. So if McConnell wants to own it, if Al wants to own it, Carl, if you win the lottery and you want to own it, we're fine with that because then the hotel can be built.
And that's the way I believed from the whole time. It makes no difference. And the whole battle's been because it's McConnell. I mean, frankly, when it gets down, it's a personality conflict going here. So whoever owns the property is just – it's transparent to building the hotel.
As long as it's privately held, then it's affordable for them to do. for Turtle Bay to do. And I think the confusion comes that people think McConnell's building the hotel. McConnell's not. This is Turtle Bay's desire to actually remove itself from the strings, the financial strings that come from outside funding. The city is no longer funding them. McConnell would like to go on with other philanthropic things. So Turtle Bay is really looking to stand alone, and this is their first step, and people have to appreciate that. This is just a step. This is not an end-all. It's not a panacea, but it's a first step.
And somewhere something was said about, this will take care of Turtle Bay, and I don't remember ever hearing that. This was that the hotel will be a part of the battle to support Turtle Bay. Correct. As is, will be having more people join Turtle Bay, or like a lot of people are doing, or supporting each individual exhibit coming through, like that, all to help. Okay, Rocky. Yes.
What do I think about the million dollar deal?
Yeah.
I think it's highly suspicious because it was delivered at the ninth hour to the last city council meeting before the election, and the city council can't do anything about this particular offer. The timing on it is suspicious. The fact that the buyer hasn't even approached the 88-year tenant to ask any questions. I mean, they're going to be in this relationship for 88 years. You think they would want to foster a relationship there.
And you know what? For people who are just waking up right now. Yeah. Okay. I was not clear, I guess, when I first started this. But this is what has happened. Yeah, this. What's going on? I'm getting these things. What's going on? There has been a $1 million offer on Turtle Bay land. By a Reading businessman, Al Shuffleberger et al., which means it's probably Al and several others, have offered $1 million for the property, beating the $600,000 offer the McConnell Foundation has offered. This was, and it was made, I mean, literally last night or yesterday and delivered. And Rick DuVernay, the city attorney has written that the timing and nature of this offer coming out of the blue with no explanation attached to it, is politically loaded. And knowing Al, who is just a straight up kind of guy, I mean, we're friends. I didn't know about it, of course. I mean, tell me why. I'm not part of the et al, so. how much is my buy in for this? Okay, there goes that, you know, here comes the lottery again. But it, what it does is it kind of causes some confusion, I think. Would you say?
It definitely causes confusion. To me, coming in at the last minute, when we've got an election in 2 weeks, when campaigns have already been out there, when signatures have already been gathered, absentee ballots are coming in.
Yeah, I mean, the election's going on. There's people who've already voted. You may have 25% of the votes already back.
Right. So the most important point is this offer can be retracted. And there is a risk associated with thinking that $1 million is going to be coming in because the day after the election, if this offer is no longer on the table, which actually the offer is rescinded or actually expires on October 28th. That's a very important date.
At 5 p.m.
Yes, which is before the election. So we won't know the fate of the land until after the election. So I don't understand why they chose that. But the fact that it can be retracted is a very dangerous concept because we are going to be waiting another 2, 3, 4 years to get this project on the road. We need to get this hotel built now so that we have 110 jobs. We strengthen our economy with $700,000 of city revenue coming in annually over the next 20 years. There's so many benefits to this project. The fact that this deal is coming in at the ninth hour is, to me, highly suspicious. And personally, I think it's a fake deal.
Okay. You think it's a fake deal? They just did this, it was made not in good faith. Is that what you're saying?
That's what, from my personal point of view, that's what I think is happening here. If it's legitimate, please challenge me. Please actually follow through and purchase the land because then we'll have a private project and they'll be able to build a hotel immediately.
Do you think this could be, and we've got to take a break, do you think this could be an offer that but it expires on Tuesday, but if B for some reason fails, is this another offer that would come in and then you could go in that direction?
Absolutely. I think, I'm not against this offer.
Nobody's against the offer. Yeah. It's just right now, it's just the timing of it.
Right.
But Carl, there's no There's no guarantee that'll happen. I mean, there's no way of knowing that this offer comes off the table and then the and Measure B fails, that the offer is going to come back on the table.
That's true.
We may be back to square one.
Yeah, because that leads to a couple other questions, but we got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's coming back from Sacramento today. I'm here, of course, with a yes on B. We've all gotten to know each other over the last few months, as I have with the no on B. And yes on A and no on B. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Measure B will make way for our community's first four-star hotel and create good-paying jobs for Reading residents. Here's Chamber of Commerce President Frank Strazzarino.
Reading's economy can certainly use the 40 new construction jobs and 70 permanent jobs created by the hotel.
Revenue from the new hotel will help fund the operations and improve the park. Here's Turtle Bay School Principal Linda Lawhon.
The new hotel will help sustain Turtle Bay, which provides educational and cultural enrichment for more than 10,000 children per year.
Measure B strengthens a one-of-a-kind community asset. Sharon Clay, curator of animal programs at Turtle Bay.
Turtle Bay used to be subsidized by taxpayers. The new hotel will help make us self-sustaining.
Measure B, supported by the Reading Peace Officers Association, the Chamber of Commerce, all 18 Shasta County school superintendents, and thousands of local residents. Paid for by Yes on Measure B, Reading Residents for Jobs and a Sustainable Economy, with major funding by Turtle Bay Exploration Park and John Fitzpatrick.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
For over 30 years, Phil's Propeller has been known as the premier fishing tackle store in the North State. Phil's Propeller also carries a large selection of ammunition, including American Eagle pistol and rifle ammo, Federal pistol, rifle, and shotgun ammo, as well as Estate shotgun ammo. Stop by their store on Twin View Boulevard and check out their great everyday prices on all their American Eagle, Federal, and Estate ammunition, and they always meet or beat any other prices in town. Now through Sunday, October 26th, take advantage of these everyday low prices, plus pay no sales tax on all items in the store. It's not too early to plan that very special gift for the outdoor enthusiast in your life this Christmas. And what better than cool stuff like ammunition and fishing gear for their favorite sport? After all, for over 30 years, Phil's Propeller has carried all the right stuff and has the most knowledgeable staff to help you make every fishing trip a total success, and all at the best prices in the North State. So whether it's your favorite Federal, American Eagle, or Estate ammunition, or the latest technology in fishing tackle, electronics, or fishing gear, shop Phil's Propeller before the 26th and save the sales tax on all your purchases. Phil's Propeller. Take the Pine Grove exit off I-5 to Twin View Boulevard for all the right stuff. Ammo limited to stock on hand.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Bott at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
We're back. Good morning. 7:19 in the morning. It's 51 degrees out there today, October the 22nd, a Wednesday. We're here with our friends from Yes on B. I keep saying our friends from Yes on B because I know you all in a lot of different. You know, well, I've met some of you just now, but it's been different different time frames. And just like with the guys from that are opposing here, I just hope that today or that next week brings a positive part, you know, a positive end to this. I mean, it's no secret that we support this. It doesn't mean we can't give, you know, time and effort to everybody, which we do, and let all of us all their sides out too. But we need to move forward with Turtle Bay. We need to move forward with the museum. And if it's, you know, frankly, if it's not McConnell, And if it's somebody else, I don't care personally. I don't think anybody cares personally as long as we get to move forward with this and to keep this museum here. Let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's interesting, past couple of weeks, you have someone on Yes on B's side who, when faced with statements made by someone who's making too strong a case against Measure B, his response to that is to stop just short of threatening to file criminal charges. And then more recently, you have Frank Strazzarino of the Chamber of Commerce comparing people who don't agree with the establishment to hoodlums and thugs. His exact words were that the council had been taken over by hoodlums.
Who said that?
So, I mean, you have to kind of wonder about the conviction, some of the inner convictions of people who would resort to tactics like that when the one person would try to intimidate somebody into not exercising their free speech rights, and when the other person would try to compare,
I know people that oppose them to hoodlums and thugs, right?
Right.
Do we have a question here, Charles?
You talk about things that don't really belong in the, as part of, this is not, people who talk about civility then turn around and are, just blatant hypocrites.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
You
have a question,
about,
Charles. We have a I realize that you're saying that this is, but do we have a direct question here, buddy?
Well, this was more of a...
Just a statement?
Yeah, more of a statement.
Okay.
Because one of the principals is in the studio right now.
Oh, okay. All right. So thanks. We've got to open the lines, and we got other people on here, Charles. Thanks for calling, Charles. I just want to make sure it wasn't me calling people.
No. I'm not talking about you. I'm saying some of the people,
Okay. All right.
I'm not trying to, this is not spray and pray. This is a targeted criticism.
Search and destroy through the Army. Okay. Got it. All right. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our next caller. Terry, good morning.
Yeah, I got a couple quick questions.
Okay.
How you guys all doing this morning?
Good. I'm great.
How are you doing, Terry? I haven't talked to you in a couple of days. Talked to Sally.
Doing well.
Good.
Why would Mr. Shuffleberger and his group have to build a hotel? Would they have to? You guys are kind of making it sound like that he would have to do that. That's the first question. Can you kind of explain to the folks why you have that position?
I don't know where you're coming up with that position, Terry.
You said it would be built anyway. You said the hotel would be built anyway.
Sure. Turtle Bay would be building the hotel. Turtle Bay is borrowing from its endowment, borrowing from the McConnell Foundation, borrowing from the Walker Foundation and a local bank. They're the ones building the hotel. In fact, at your Tea Party debate, that's an issue that we covered very extensively. That was the McConnell Foundation is different from Turtle Bay. So if Alan Shuffleberger comes in and buys the property, Turtle Bay is still going to have an 88-year lease on that property, and they can control everything that goes on that property. Shuffleberger will have no say for the next 88
years. Okay, that's clarified. Now, the other thing is that why is it that this campaign is spending almost $500,000 already where the land was only $650,000 to maintain maybe, 70 hotel jobs? I'm a little unclear on is there something that the folks are maybe missing on that question? That's my second one. Then I have one more that's real quick.
Okay. I can't really speak for Turtle Bay's spending. There's obviously two PACs. There's a Turtle Bay PAC, which is called Reading Residents for Jobs in a Sustainable Economy, and they have made their own decisions. Revive has raised about $47,000, and we've made all our own decisions. All I can say in this entire experience is I find it actually very disheartening that we've had to spend this amount of money to clear up some of the controversy, to clear up some of the intricacies about what Revolt, what some other groups have contended, namely some of these open-ended questions such as, can the hotel be built without your land being sold? Our position is absolutely not. There's no money for that, but to get the message out, to answer a one-line question cohesively is going to be a lot more expensive than just putting out a single mailer. So I'm actually disappointed we've had to spend this much. I really, really wish that we'd just gotten on this project 3 years ago when before it went to the Department of Industrial Relations, and we'd have a beautiful hotel sitting there today with all those jobs and all that revenue that we've already talked about.
Okay. And then my third question is, first of all, it wouldn't be that many jobs, and I'm not saying whether I'm for it or against it, but the third question is that because this this offer came in at $1 million and it's a bona fide offer, and they don't even consider the offer, wouldn't that show, because that now created standing for this, the residents of Reading, which would be 90,000 people, wouldn't that create harm? Because really it's our property, and so therefore if we're selling it for a lower price and the people that are engaged in the city of Reading, couldn't there be a class action suit with the city of with the people of Reading being the plaintiffs because it's now shown harm? And on top of that, there'd have to be a remedy by the courts. Wouldn't that tie it up in the court? Or do you guys know anything about that? Or
I'm not a lawyer, so I can't comment on that.
Well, I'm not either, but yeah, the only thing I can say
is that in Section 21 of the current sales agreement, if people vote yes, McConnell has agreed to indemnify the city against any future lawsuits regarding wages and the purchase and sale agreement.
Okay, right, so right, what you're saying is that if in fact the class action suits comes from the residents of Reading, and say this suit is for millions of dollars, and this happens, that McConnell will pay for that? Is that what you're saying? They'll pay for that? They'll cover that money?
I don't know specifically about a class action suit, but I think that
scenario
is very, very limited.
But well, I think the answer was.
Again, I'm just asking questions. I just wanted to, you're saying McConnell would come up with the money. Is that what you're saying? Under that section?
Terry, what McConnell Foundation has agreed in the purchase and sale agreement is to indemnify the city for any and all costs.
Gotcha.
Related to prevailing wage issue on a hotel project.
Oh, so it's a prevailing wage, but not the damages.
That indemnification. Okay. Well, we never had it. You know, at the time that purchase and sale agreement was executed.
Yeah, but I guess we're talking kind of about apples and oranges.
Yeah,
but
we didn't have an offer on the table.
You know, the thing that I see here is that with the offer has to be accepted like right now because it expires next Tuesday. And I don't know it really throws a wrench into everything. But the city has already said they're not going to look at it till after the election.
Well, I think they're saying
that's where I think the class action suit might be a problem. I would think they probably should look into it right away.
Well, people have already started voting on this based on other information, though. I mean, people
that doesn't matter.
Well,
law wise, that doesn't matter. I mean, it sounds good, but it doesn't matter.
Well,
anyway, thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Terry. All right. Bye. I'm gonna have to get a constitutional lawyer and put him on the payroll here. But it says is that if a lot of people have already voted based on the ballot question, there's nothing that's changing according to the attorney here. It says that they can't even look at it right now.
Well, one thing that just occurred to me is if there's actually a damage. I mean, we're really playing amateur lawyer right now.
Oh yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm,
yeah I'm it would be $400,000. That's like what $3-4 a person if there's a class action suit. I mean,
whenever there's a suit, you got to say what are the damages, and the damages could be $400,000. I mean, I don't know what material is coming from there that it'd be millions of dollars of a class.
Yeah. We all want our $3.
That's a cup of coffee.
What's the damages?
That's not even. Yeah.
What lawyer's going to take the case?
Okay. Well, there's lawyers out there that will take it in a heartbeat. We've got Henry. We'll just catch Henry on the other side of the break here. But okay, going back into this, one of the things that you've tried to make clear is that, and McConnell or Al Shuffleberger, neither one of them is going to build a hotel. It's never been McConnell building a hotel. And I don't know why that I still read this. It's always been Turtle Bay. And then the next big question is, McConnell and Turtle Bay are so close that anything McConnell wants, Turtle Bay is going to let him have. And that's, you know, that's another thing that it's not a fact, but it's out there, and that's hard to fight.
Correct, correct. I think what McConnell Foundation is intending to do here is help Turtle Bay be more self-sufficient so that they can give in other areas. Right now, they do incredible things for our city. They fund our fireworks. They fund college scholarships. They just gave $1 million to One Safe Place. If Turtle Bay is doing better, there is more money to give here locally for other projects. So I think that's an intention of theirs. And they're definitely separate entities, separate boards. Obviously, the Shuffleburger purchase, if that actually goes through, you know, gets rid of any potential tax.
I see that as, you know what, frankly, I see that as a plus sign on this. Mm-hmm. Joe, what about you? I mean, Al's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
That
no.
This kind of takes the place totally of, okay, we can't say then that they're doing it because of you know, McConnell's there to take the land.
Absolutely. It eliminates the whole conspiracy concept. And Al is a very successful business person. His credentials and his family's credentials go back decades.
Yeah.
The Builders
yeah.
Exchange would be ecstatic to have yeah. the opportunity to build the hotel.
I think it's unfortunate that this offer is coming in at this late hour. Yeah. I think if this offer had come in, you know, this—
3 weeks ago.
Well, yeah. I mean, this whole thing was decided at a city council meeting in March. So we've had since March. And for this to come in October, I just think is unfortunate. It would have been nice if we had this to talk about in April before all this money was spent on these campaigns, before ballots went out, before people started voting on this issue. And I think that's the city attorney's concern. And I don't think he's fully decided whether they can address it or not. Again,
we'll find out today.
Just came out yesterday afternoon. I think that he needs a little time to decide what the legalities are in that.
Okay. Hey, we're here with Yes on B, and we're going to take a quick break. Carl and DeBott. It is 7:31 in the morning. We'll be right back with our last segment on Yes on B, and then we've got Raba we're going to be talking about. We'll be right back.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the City Council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for City Council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on her way back from Sacramento. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's has got the coffee you want and anything and any type of way of making it. Walk next door to the finest humidor in the state. Buy those cigars for Christmas. Give them to your favorite people. Right there. Tobacco and Brew. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. I'm here with Joe Comente and Don Cingrani and Rocky Slaughter. Yes on B. Let's go to the phones. Henry.
No.
Nope. Jan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jan.
Carl, you are a businessman, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
You opened, you started up your business, and it's succeeding.
Yes, ma'am.
If it wasn't succeeding, you'd change your business plan.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? Has, aside from building a hotel, has did the Turtle Bay and their discussions about how to be self-sustaining ever look at maybe changing the model that they have, their business plan, maybe changing some staff? I know they say they got more volunteers and they cut back and all that, but maybe they need to get some more people in there and look at an
look at it. Look at it in a different way. Yeah. Okay.
Has that been an option or not?
Well, I think Turtle Bay has over the years since 2009 when they lost all their city funding has made concerted efforts to reduce their expenditures. They've reduced their operating budget, I think, nearly $3 million over that period of time. So, yes, they're certainly changing and trying to react to the fact that they've got less funding. But, you know, you can only do so much with cutting expenditures. And sometimes the issue becomes you've got a revenue problem. You've got to determine ways to create more revenue. And that's exactly what this hotel project is intended to do, is to create a stable revenue stream to Turtle Bay that they can use to continue to fund and perhaps enhance their operations.
This hotel. One more question?
Yep. Sure.
Does anybody know how much money the city of Redding gifted to Turtle Bay when it first started up? Has anybody totaled that up?
If you're talking about, you know, I don't, but if you're talking about like how they gave them electricity and gave them rates on electricity and all that.
Well, they used to give them $300,000 a year
they did.
Or more some years.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've seen a chart since 1997. They were receiving taxpayer funds. I think it started out around $700,000 when they combined all four museums, and that reduced year after year until 2011, where they no longer receive any taxpayer funding. So the city approached Turtle Bay and they said, stand on your own like a private business. And that's the whole reason why they're trying to get a private partner in this transaction.
Because one thought I had is maybe that should be the selling price of the land.
All the money that's been put in it?
All the money that the city of Redding put into it. But that's just a thought. Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Well, thanks a lot, Jan. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
You know, I kind of like this is what we do, Linda and I have, is like right now, we're starting another income stream, starting another company. And the more income streams you have coming in, the less you're, and so a hotel, and so the next question then would be is what other kind of income streams can they use? And I think that's where the rest of that land comes in. So I think that's one of the questions. Now, we've got about, 8 minutes left. So,
one of the things I wanted to say, Carl, is with this land, with this new purchase offer on the table, and just out yesterday, I think we need to give the city officials a chance to digest it, to look into the ramifications of election laws and whether they in fact can act on this. So my recommendation to voters, it's a recommendation I'm going to follow myself, is I'm not voting on this issue until, I wouldn't be voting on this until
close to the election. I think clearly we ought to let the time go.
Let
the dust settle and see what this really means.
Yeah, if you haven't voted, just hold off until they can see what the city's going to say. That's a good idea because this one here is, you know, the offer right here, again, knowing the, you know, Shuffleburgers and Bruce Middleton, who presented the offer. I mean, as Joe says, that, you know, they're stand-up guys. So there's let's see what's going on with that. And let's, you know, to see what the city can do with this. Hey, by the way, I got something in the chat room that the city of Redding gave to what they gave to Turtle Bay is less than the amount that was allocated for the old Carter House and Art Museum for decades.
That's true. Before they combined those museums and Turtle Bay came into existence with this land lease, that the city was, I believe it was close to $1 million that they were spending annually to fund those individual museums. And that was about $600,000 after the combination.
And by the way, talking to Rob Burrows and from the Northern California Veterans Museum and to Mike Warren and to other people is I know that there's discussions going on, and they're going to have to wait till after the measure, to having the Northern California Veterans Museum as part of the campus down there. I mean, I know that they've walked the ground. I was there when they did that. I know what the initial planning was, and to see if how they would fit in there, and that both Warren and Burroughs seem very enthusiastic about it, mm-hmm. about being able to put the museum down there and making this part of the campus. But they're waiting until after the measure.
And Carl, there were also discussions between Turtle Bay and the Department of Education here about moving the Schrader Planetarium to that campus, and so that's, you know, that's an idea that's been floated and is certainly something that I think would be considered.
Well, as people know, is that KCNR is acting as an umbrella here to support Liberty on the Border. And our listeners and our associates are putting money in, and we're raising $5,000 to be our portion of that for that exhibit. And the thing about that is that the community coming together like this could it can help with these. We need a museum as we need a newspaper. You may not always agree with the newspaper, but a community needs a newspaper, and a community needs a museum and a focal point . The questions are usually you're saying, it doesn't have this, it doesn't have this, or it does this. Well, if the support was there and there was other you know, funding coming in and other revenue streams, it's tough for a museum to make it on its own, as you all know. But this can help it. But it can also act as a place where 80,000 cars passing past our exits every day mm-hmm. can pull in there and take mm-hmm. a look and just be on kind of the gateway. That's what I look at.
And I think that was one of the reasons that the Sheraton brand was selected as the hotel brand there. There's not a Sheraton between Portland and Sacramento, and that is going to perhaps people that would, you know, Starwood points that would stay in a Sheraton instead of stopping for gas on their way to Sacramento or on their way to Portland, they're actually going to stop for gas and to stay and eat in our restaurants and perhaps use our trail system and visit our museums and other cultural amenities. So I think that's a great potential plus for this project.
This is another question. I keep reading this. It's not a 4-star hotel. Mm-hmm. Have you read that?
I have.
That's a good point. I had a conversation with one of our hospitality instructors at Shasta College, and he says, how can you say that? The 4-star rating is something that you earn, and how can you say that before it's even been built? And, you know, he's technically correct. So I think what is intended by saying that is that this is going to be a hotel that's built with the amenities expected from a 4-star hotel. Whether it ever achieves that rating, it has to be built first, and you have to, be given that rating. But it is going to be built with the amenities typically expected in a 4-star hotel, and I think that's important to note.
And Turtle Bay has hired an operator, which is very experienced in operating several 4-star hotels. So, I mean, that's by saying it's a 4-star hotel, it's going to be a 4-star hotel. It's just when they get that distinction.
Right. So it's got to go through, like, the process, like an inspection process.
Pretty much.
Okay, and so after that happens, then you can get the rating. So you can't just say it's 4-star until somebody looks at it, looks at the amenities, looks at what they have there, and does it. But it's planned to be, it's built to be a 4-star, just like the rest of the 4-stars they have.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's the operator's intent. That's why the operator's interested, because he wants to run a 4-star hotel.
Okay. Joe Camonte, Don Cingrani, and Rocky Slaughter are here for Yes on B. We've got 2 weeks. 2 weeks from yesterday, mm-hmm. before the election. It's been pretty exciting here, huh?
It's been really exciting. The big point right now is time is money. If you vote yes, we will get this project started quickly. If you vote no, there's going to be a lot of back and forth, you know, whether or not this $1 million sale goes through, whether or not prevailing wages are applied. There's a lot of argument. Yes, cleans everything, makes it very nice. All you have to do is vote yes, and they can start breaking ground.
I'm going to go one step further. I think that if Measure B fails and this goes back to square one, the more time that goes by, the more this project becomes threatened to not happen at all. And that's certainly a possibility. I'm not willing to say that that's going to necessarily occur, but it certainly is going to become mm-hmm. more of a threat that the project is – the longer we wait, the higher the chance the project won't happen at all.
Joe, you're in the construction trade. I mean, the bid was from, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. And actually
– I mean, prices have gone up since then.
And
they're
going to rebid it, but Turtle Bay is going to stay with the original contractors. And mm-hmm. I want to take a quote from Mike Thurber of M&J Electric. He's one of our members, and he did receive the initial bid for the electrical. And his main goal was to keep his crews here in Reading because he can do business all over the state, all over the West Coast. But he'd really like to keep his crews here and let them work in Reading. And his quote is, "I think it's a great project and great for the city of Reading and Shasta County. Turtle Bay went out of their way to use local contractors." So this is about a businessman who wants to keep his business here. He wants to keep his workers working here. And as was mentioned yesterday on your show, and we are strong believers in that, construction is our manufacturing. It's the backbone of our economy. We have to do anything and everything we can to spur construction. So the builders are ready to go. It's just a matter of the voters saying yes.
All right. I think we'll finish up on that. We'll be right back. We have Yes on B with us. And when we come back, we're going to have Rob out because they're getting ready to have a big event next Thursday. It's going to raise money for our veterans. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mike Quinn, candidate for the Reading City Council and a true fiscal conservative. I've owned a business in Reading for over 15 years, and part of that was a corporate controller. My strengths are budgeting, financial reporting, and cost controls, and I do not believe in debt. The city of Reading needs to learn to live within the means of the citizens of Reading, and the city needs to get out of the way of businesses and to let them thrive. I would appreciate your vote this November the 4th or on your absentee ballot. Paid for by the committee to elect Mike Quinn, Reading City Council, 2014.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers and policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the Chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek.
Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Four Winds Jewelry. You know, right across the street from Sierra Gibbs, estate jewelry at its very, very best, and located at 2225 Hilltop. Estate jewelry, whether it's or loose stones, diamonds, emeralds, anything you could possibly want. Is there at Four Winds Jewelry and the only trained watch repairman right there at Four Winds Jewelry. In fact, he's got my watch. I've got to go down there today. And I'm carrying another watch with me for him to fix that too. He built the whole, rebuilt the whole inside of my watch for like $60. Or maybe he just dropped a piece in there. I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Rabba is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, got to turn you on first. Oh, you had her on the other one. Okay. No, we've got her right here. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, you know what? It's that time of the year again that we're here doing our Arava stuff. So what's happening? When is that going to be?
It's going to be October 30th.
A week from tomorrow.
It's Rabba's fifth annual Salute to Veterans campaign. And what we are doing is raising sponsorships and funds in the community, which Rabba will match, and we purchase Rabba bus passes that we give to local veterans who need to get around town for services, and they can get some passes for free, and those are distributed through the Veterans Service Office downtown, Bob Dunlap's office.
That's right, and by the way, Bob's leaving us.
I know, I just found out he's retiring. I gave him a big hug. We're going to miss him.
Yeah, they should be picking, I think it's the end of the month here, too, that he's leaving. So
I'm totally in love with him. He's wonderful.
Bob's done a lot. I think we need to have, you know, it's a bad time. Maybe it's after give him a day after he retires and bring him back on and talk about this.
We should.
Because, I mean, it's right here in election time and, you know, all these things. But, okay, let's talk about this.
Okay.
All right. Now, of course, the Rabba Salute to the Veterans. And we're going to be down at Cornerstone Community Bank in the corner of Cypress and Hartnell. It's going to be going from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. next Thursday, a week from tomorrow.
Yes.
And now you can just drop by and drop off money.
Yes, you can.
And this money goes to buying the passes, and we've done this for years.
Mm-hmm. Buying the passes to give to the Veterans Service Office, to give to veterans who need transportation.
That's right. And
yeah.
Then how does it work? I mean, do people – how many of these do you give out?
You know, we give about $5,000 worth of passes to Bob Dunlap. And what happens is because we have so many veterans that are in need to be able to get around, and transportation's the problem. So he sort of breaks the amount of passes out through the year, mm-hmm. and he runs out like the 10th day of the month every month.
Oh, okay.
And he also shares those with Brad Long's office and shares those with, there's another veteran organization as well. What we do is just not enough, and it needs to be more. So we just encourage people to come to the drive-thru and give what you can.
Yeah, you know, $5, $10, $1,000. It's all it's all there. And in fact, Brad has got this, just got the city okay to $355,000 deal to rehab a senior citizen's home.
Yes.
Down on Park Marina Drive for homeless veterans, about 40.
Yes, excellent.
Let me see. I forget how many they can put in there. But they've already helped, but accommodate 12 veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things are going on, Evelyn. So you can actually give money also other ways too, right?
Yes, you can sponsor, and that information will be up on our Facebook today, later today.
Okay.
Business sponsors, for example, Cornerstone Bank sponsored for $1,000, and the drive-through is there. And C.R. Gibbs and Holiday Inn, Ed Roman.
Ed Roman's always out there.
He gave us $1,000.
Ed's a good guy.
Amazing, just amazing. And other sponsorships have come in at all different levels. And the sponsors obviously get different benefits just depending on what their level of sponsorship is. And how that works this year, we're doing something a little different. We're doing one like equals $1 a Facebook like campaign to raise funds. And our Facebook page is facebook.com/rabbasalute. So the more you go on there and you like and you share and you get engaged, the more money that we will raise for this.
So one thing you have to do is like it.
Like it.
And share it.
And share it.
And then who? And where do you get the money from?
The sponsors.
Oh,
they
the sponsors
sponsor
was
at different levels. Yes,
oh,
I will
okay
sponsor $100 of likes or $250 of likes, or Ed Roman's was $1,000 of likes. So whatever we reach, we get that money for
we'll
this
sponsor,
cost.
We'll sponsor $100 worth.
Really? Thank you.
Yes, we will.
I'll take a check before I leave.
I bet you will. So we can luckily we have a break here, and I can do that. And see what they, see what's today? Have I paid everybody, Bob? Okay, yes, we can pay. Okay, we can give that check today. this is great what you're doing. We've been involved with it since the beginning.
Yes, you have. You've been awesome.
Well, you know what? It's something that that people don't think about. I mean, riding a bus is not easy here in town.
No, it's not.
I mean, really. I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know,
and we've talked about this, haven't
mm-hmm
we? But people who don't have cars. And they have to get around from place to place. It's the only thing they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to ride a bicycle with their two kids.
No. And, you know, I think we've learned over the years, and keep in mind that I'm an independent contractor. I'm not a city employee. I don't work at RABA or for RABA. They contract with me. So what I do understand from their more recent short-term transit plan, I think is what they call it, they have found that in our particular community that we are not going to get people to leave their cars and ride the bus instead. We are basically, I think, we have the service for people who really need it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of social services people, a lot of veterans, a lot of people that maybe they have two people in the family but only one car and somebody else needs to get someplace. So it's really for the people who need it.
It would be nice to have like a real viable, and I don't mean this in a bad sense, but a viable system. Everything's coming by and going everywhere. But
mm-hmm
if you don't, I mean, we're already, the city's putting a lot of money into RABA already.
Yes, they are.
Every year. And but you're right. Our city is laid out in such a way, it's so big.
Well, and not only that, it's just such a small city and a small community. When you come from a big city, you know, everyone's on the bus. And, you know, this is just not a community that does that.
Well, when I say it's a small city in numbers, mm-hmm, but we cover 60 miles.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you're on both sides of the river. And so if you want to go to the other side. Now, I really hope, and I think they're going to, is they've got buses running out to where the new REU building is going to be out mm-hmm there on Airport Road.
Mm-hmm.
Another bright idea from down into city council
mm-hmm
to put it that far out. And the people that really need help are going to have to ride a bus to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that Rob has already taken that into account.
You know, and I do understand that they are changing just about every route, and I certainly don't have the details again because I'm not on staff there. But a lot of, I think, exciting things are going to happen, and they're trying to make it easier and more convenient for people to take RABA.
All right. So return – okay, this is for other things, the 28th. That's next week. So somebody can – well, I'll just – do I need to fill this out or just give you
yes,
a check?
Yes, sir. Please do.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Okay, you may have to come back at night.
Okay. I'll give you a rabbit pen.
Give me a rabbit pen. Yeah, people have already said I'm rabid. Or, no, is that Rabba or rabbit? All right. Okay, everybody. Next Thursday, down at Cornerstone Bank on, did I say that right? Yeah, Cornerstone Community Bank on the corner of Cypress and Hartnell, the Molly Kid and Nate Abarea. from our staff are going to be down there.
Excellent. Thank
and
you.
And they're going to be there starting at 7 o'clock, and they're going to be off and on with us at least through 9 o'clock. And so here's a chance to walk on or walk by, drive by, and give a donation.
Right. And we're going to have a lot of radio personalities there, like yourself, well, like your group.
Uh-huh.
So people can stop in and talk to all the DJs.
In fact, I'm going to be there in the morning early, and then I have to run back here because it's political week and we've got different
and radio stations are coming and going depending on the hours. So the entire drive through is from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay,
and I think we're going to have food there this year and beverages and all kinds of things. So it'll be huge.
Means so we're not licking the dew off the grass.
No,
Evelyn Peterson.
Thank you, sir.
All right, everybody, of course, we'll push this next week, too.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back after this. We've got Bill Nagel, who's the one that's in charge of all the permitting for the city of Reading, and we're going to find out what that really means. We'll be right back. Carl and the Bot.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Police say a man believed to be a member of the Canadian Armed Forces has been shot at a National War Memorial. There are reports of gunfire inside the halls of Parliament today. The incident comes just 2 days after two Canadian soldiers were run over and one killed in Quebec by a man with jihadist sympathies. A growing number of Americans, meanwhile, questioning this government's response to Ebola. We get more from SR News Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines.
The number of Americans expressing confidence in the government's ability to control an Ebola outbreak slipped 8 points in the past week, down to 52%. That according to a just-released Gallup poll. But that confidence is split widely along party lines. Just 37% of Republicans are confident, while 71% of Democrats are.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. U.S. consumer prices showing just a slight increase for September. The overall gain was held back by a third straight monthly decline in gasoline prices. Target is offering for the first time free holiday shipping on all its items.
It's an attempt by the discounter to compete more effectively with the likes of Amazon. Target says its free shipping offer will last now through December 20th. The move is unusually early for a retailer and could squeeze Target's profit margins. However, the strategy underscores how retailers are willing to do whatever it takes to grab shoppers in the holiday shopping season, which makes up about 20% of the retail industry's total sales.
That's Jeremy House reporting. The government adding more than 3 million vehicles to a rare warning about faulty airbags. It could be deadly, Center for Auto Safety Executive Director Clarence Ditlow.
The government is not doing a good enough job. It doesn't have enough inspectors, and recalls aren't happening fast enough.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration today put out a new list of vehicles, increasing the number from 4.7 to 7.8 million in all. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Did you know up to 1 in 5 Americans will get the flu this year? Because less than half of us get vaccinated? You didn't know? That's okay. We do. Rite Aid has certified immunizing pharmacists at the ready to discuss your risks, answer your questions, and shield you from what you don't know. So get your flu shot, no appointment necessary, at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
President Obama is turning to black radio listeners to plead for midterm votes. Here's SRN's Greg Cluxton.
With many Democratic candidates keeping their distance from the unpopular president during this campaign cycle, Barack Obama is focusing on the black vote. Spokesman Josh Earnest says there's traditionally been a drop-off among
some segments of the Democratic Party electorate in midterm elections. That's no secret.
To try and reverse that trend, the president has done interviews with 7 black radio talk show hosts over the past week. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
The president is convening a meeting today with his new Ebola czar, Ron Klain, and other top aides. Klain is a former White House advisor who is the president's response coordinator for Ebola. He also has meetings scheduled with various White House teams leading the government's response to Ebola and at home and in West Africa, especially in the hardest hit countries, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. This is SRN News. Apple has posted a new security warning for users of its iCloud online storage service amid reports of a concerted effort to steal passwords and other data.
The computer maker says that it is aware of organized attacks seeking to obtain user information. It says Apple's own servers have not been compromised, but the company is taking the matter very seriously. Apple's post did not mention China or provide any details on the attacks, but several news outlets report that some Chinese internet users have begun seeing warnings that indicate they had been diverted to an unauthorized website when they attempted to sign in to their iCloud accounts. Keith Peters, SRN News.
The president of Keene State College in New Hampshire says students are turning over video and photos of the mayhem that broke out during what was supposed to have been a family-friendly pumpkin festival over the weekend. More than 80 people were arrested. The college president says students are volunteering images to help identify the troublemakers. More details at SRNnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:05 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Linda's on her way back from Sacramento. Spent the night down there. Bad Bob, give us some weather here.
Looking for mostly cloudy skies today, rain picking up tonight, and lots of rain by tomorrow, and boy, could we use it. Maybe about half an inch or so. That'll taper off on Thursday. Looks mostly cloudy as we head into the weekend, and we are all done with the uber-hot weather. Right now, 52 degrees in Reading. The report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Thanks a lot. And that number is 365-3793. Give senior and veterans discounts, locally owned and operated. Hey, we have a on the line, Phyllis Shoffley. Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
Well, okay, but I was really only scheduled till 1:15, so let's be quick.
Okay, let's be quick. I know you're a busy lady. So what do you think about...
I've got a great new book out. I hope you've read it, Who Killed the American Family.
Who killed it? Who did kill the American family?
Well, you got to read the book.
Oh, well, I will.
You can get it on my website, eaglefarm.org, or Amazon, or all the usual places. And I think the gays have been overplayed on that. They're only one factor.
Okay.
And it's kind of like Agatha Christie's book, Murder on the Orient Express. When they look for the criminal, it turned out everybody on the train had a motive. So I've described the different groups who have been working to get rid of the nuclear family.
Well, you know, the nuclear family, when it looks like here, and I see, and I've the statistics I've read is something like in some groups, 78% of the children are born out of wedlock or to one parent, and it seems to be growing expeditionally here.
Yes, it is, and I tell in one of my chapters is on financial incentives, and financial incentives are very powerful in encouraging young women to have babies without having a husband. And that's a great mistake because while the nuclear family is a self-contained economic unit, they can spend their own money and support themselves with a father provider and the mother taking care of the kids. But once you break that up, they can't, and so surprise, surprise, they look to Big Brother government for the money.
Well, do you think the government's supporting this type of
yes,
family breakups?
They're not only supporting it with this extraordinary welfare system that we have, but they're encouraging it. And as I say, they are incentives for women to have children. A lot of the instances where the mother is just simply told, I mean, if you have a man around, you're not going to get the same kind of a handout.
Well, no, then I agree with that's what's being done. And I just find it interesting that we're not seeing this in the media, where they're saying is that here's a huge problem, and you know it may be brushed over, but it never seems to hammer it in. Is that
a lot of the people I know, conservative types. Say they just want to talk about the fiscal issues. But you have to ask, what are we spending the money on? And we're spending it on providing the extra help that is needed by these broken families.
So it's
absolutely the fiscal and the moral issues are together. You can't separate them.
Okay. Well, I absolutely agree on this. And what can we do? What can we as citizens of Reading? What can we do?
Well, the people who believe in limited government, there's only one way to get it, and that's to restore the incentives for people to be married before they have kids. Now, when the Republicans took over in the 40s, they passed the joint income tax return, and it was the mother and father living together, having their own children, who got the tax break in the tax code. But now, it's almost like you're penalized if you have a man around. And they even tell some of these women, don't have a man in the house. And some of them have a boyfriend hanging around, but they don't report him. He may have a job and being paid his own taxes, but they don't count that, and she doesn't have to reveal that. So the result is that we have given out more money for broken families on the welfare system than our country has spent in all the wars we ever fought. That's what the war on poverty has done to us.
Well, you know what? This is I think this is something everybody's facing. And you think the government? Do you think this? I know you follow the politics. You've been involved in this in so many things. A conservative activist, author, of course, and a founder of the Forum, Eagle Forum. Now, do you think that this election coming up is going to be a way of starting to take that back?
Yes, it is, if the Republicans take over. And I'm urging people, if you're an independent or a libertarian or something, you're usually looking to find the best candidate on the ballot. But this time, in regard to the Senate, you ought to elect a Republican, because we need to have the Republican control the Senate so that they will reject any Obama nominees to the federal courts. If he names another candidate to the U.S. Supreme Court, he'll run the country for the next 30 years. And it will take a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate to knock down and reject any of his court nominees. And now we have a situation where the courts have decided they need to make all the decisions about marriage. You know, in these family courts, we even had one judge who thought he could decide which church the kids go to. Now, where do we live? In Afghanistan?
Well, you know what? And I see some of these rulings, and I think to myself that, are we trying to be so correct that we're destroying our core? And I absolutely believe that. We need to take it back.
Need my book, Who Killed the American Family? Because it tells you things about the people who've been working against the family that nobody else has got the nerve to say. And the gays are only a small part of it. A lot of it is the family courts. A lot of it is the feminists. A lot of it is these so-called experts who try to tell you they know more than anybody else, but they have no scientific backup. And I tell people, you're better off listening to your grandparents.
Okay, you can also read other works of Phyllis Schlafly here on Eagle Forum that you have and
eagleforum.org.
And I tell you what, it's Republicans Need Tools for 2014 Victory, plus the book she just has coming out. And you've been a fighter for a long time here in our political.
A long time, and I tell the old codgers we need everybody now.
You need everybody. This is the whole. You know, we need to stand together here because you're absolutely right. If they retain the Senate, then we could have Supreme Court justices that will impact on us for the rest of my life.
All right. Please invite me back because there's lots more to say, and I'd like to do it. I'm sorry I have to go.
Oh, no, that's absolutely fine, ma'am. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for what you do for our country.
Hope to talk to you soon.
Yes,
have a
ma'am.
Good day.
Thank you. All right. You know, Phyllis Schlafly is
nationally known. Yeah.
90 years old. No.
Could never tell that from the conversation.
Oh, you know how she starts? She's like, hey, I've got till 15 after. Let's get going. All right. You know, she's right. You know what? This woman has been an activist, and she is nationally known. She is a person that obviously cares about the country. She has strong feelings. But that's okay. We like that.
Strong feelings are stock in trade here.
Well, you know
that would be talk radio.
That would be talk radio, and you know, and I'm going to invite her back on because this woman, you know, this woman has observed politics for you know for decades. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show is brought to you though by Alliance Heating and Air. It's getting cold, so now as we went through the summer and they fixed your cooling systems. Martin and his people can now fix your heating systems. Warranties, guarantees. If you got an emergency, give them a call at 221-2642. They'll work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to make sure you're warm. Check out their website at homecomfort.org. We're so happy that we've done business with them in the past, and we will continue in the future. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, Frank Muse with Norton Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family-owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the city council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make a telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm here with Ted Leidy from Northern Firearms Instruction.
Join us on November 22nd and 23rd for a private CCW class to raise money for the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
This class is private and limited seats are available. It's also tax deductible, and firearms and ammunition can be provided at no charge to complete the course.
Join us for this great two-day class by calling 530-999-1822 or visit Northern Firearms at readingccw.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the Turtle Bay Historical Exhibit, Liberty on the Border.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Bob. Linda's on her way back, of course, from Sacramento. You know, you get used to, you know, the dog just sits there and stares at the door the whole time while she's gone. I sit next to the dog staring. Hey, on this Saturday, October 25th from 7 to 11 p.m. at Turtle Bay Museum for the 2014 Rising Stars Gala. Come out and enjoy a beautiful night by the river and raise some money for student scholarships. They're going to have all types of music and food and all types of that. Tickets can be bought at Brown Paper Tickets or at the door for $30. You know, it's going to be a great night. And it, like I said, the money goes to scholarships. And you can, for the, sponsorships and scholars for our students here. It helps a student reach for the stars. All funds raised will provide scholarships for Whiskeytown Environmental School, Schrader Planetarium, and Claire A. Hill Scholarship Fund. Silent live auctions. Gaming and dancing, all of this at Turtle Bay this Saturday at October 25th, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Bill Nagel's with us. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Thanks for waiting for Phyllis to get her 15 minutes of fame. And even though she's 90 years old and has done everything in the world, but I appreciate you waiting.
No problem.
Okay. That's, you know, sometimes we schedule things and they come, you know, they said, do you want to have Phyllis Schlafly on? I said, well, sure. I mean, she's famous. I mean, you know, this woman has been out there for a long time, and then I never heard another word from him, and then she calls this morning. So it was kind of cool. Okay, Bill, you are head of the Developmental Services. Is that right?
Development Services Department.
You're the director there.
That's correct.
What exactly falls under you?
The building department, planning, our permit center that has our public contact for all the permits, and code enforcement.
Okay. You know, we had a guy named Russ Mall on, was from the county. You know where that is? You're looking for it right now, aren't you, Bob? And he had.
If you eat food, drink water, or breathe the air, we impact you every day.
Okay, and what he said was, we just played it. If you eat food, drink water, or breathe air, we impact on you every day. Is that you guys too?
No.
No, we don't have that.
We're a little bit different. The county's structured somewhat different in the departments that they have under that. They have a health department, and county government's a little different than city. So we have part of what I think Russ Mull's department had, and mm-hmm. he had a little more than that as well.
You know, a lot of the things we hear with the permitting and all this, and you and I talked about it, spent a few minutes talking about it, was the fact that anecdotal comments, you know, from people that are having problems in the permitting process. And one of the reasons, and I would ask every one of the candidates who came on, what are you going to do about permitting? Oh, we're going to do, and then I thought, well, I've never talked to Bill on the station. Maybe we should talk to him.
Sure.
And one of the things you said, which was really, I thought was kind of cool, was I really want to make this whole process easy.
Yes, that's our goal, is to make it as streamlined and efficient and as simple as possible. Unfortunately, a lot of the laws that cities are charged to enforce come from the state level. And so we don't really have a choice. We're required by law to enforce those. And they're very complicated. One of my favorite slideshows that I've put together over the years is one that shows a comparison of the 1982 building code to the 2010 building codes. And one's just a small book that you can hold in one hand, and the other one takes a shelf, an entire shelf. So the building codes are extremely complicated. They've gone into areas that they never used to cover, energy efficiency and disabled access and green building. And that's on top of all the electrical and plumbing and mechanical that typically was in there. And then when you dive into each one of those topics, they've also become very much more complex.
So what you're saying is what we have here, and even though I haven't read the whole book, I've read most of it. I read it in spurts of Atlas Shrugged. One of the senators was talking to the other senator and said, gosh, we passed more laws today. He says, I don't even know what's legal or illegal anymore. And he said, yeah, that's right. Now we got them.
Yeah.
I mean, is this the kind of thing that's happening?
Well, it is. We adopt the codes. And then in California, we even add another layer in that the legislature keeps adding new laws, and they're not even in the building codes, but they affect buildings. And you'll find those in the government code and sprinkled throughout. So to know where there's three sentences in a set of codes that, at the state level to know that you need to do something, it's really tough. It's hard on people. And if you're a homeowner who just wants to add on or something, you really don't have a chance. There's no way you can learn all those things just for one small project. You have to understand this. You have to be in the industry and practice it every day. And we have that expertise, and we try to help people to get through that process.
Now, this is where it kind of comes into it. What is the process? I come in, I want, okay, let's just do that. Okay, I want to enclose my carport and make it into a garage.
Okay.
Okay, that's kind of relatively simple, except there is, I want to have a door that, an electric door, and I have lights inside the garage and all that. So I come into your, where do I start? Permits?
Yes, the first thing you would do is come down to our permit counter, our permit center, and talk to one of our technicians at the counter, and they would get you set up with an application. We have handouts that can help you determine what you're going to need in terms of plans. And then we have a senior building inspector at the counter that also can advise you on the technical parts of, how many anchor bolts you need and what kind of spacing, any questions you might have for that. Then you would,
and it tells you exactly, okay, you've got to submit this and this and this.
Yes, the handouts
we can give you a
tell
plan.
You we need a floor plan, we need elevations, we need a site plan that shows the distance to the property line, some basic things like that. But within the floor plan, that's when the technical advisor can help you. Or if you hire an architect or an engineer or a draftsperson that's familiar with that, they could do that as well. When you get all that put together, then you submit for your building permit. And more than 60% of our building permits we issue right over the counter. So something like you talked about.
Right then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That day.
Yes, right there.
If
right
I've got the information, boom, here it
mm-hmm.
is.
Yes, okay. If it's simple enough, if we can look at it and – there's no structural calcs, it's just adding a new 20-amp electrical circuit, 15-amp electrical circuit. Those types of things we do day in and day out. And at the end of the year, when we look back, over 60% of our permits are over the counter or online.
How many permits?
We do about a little over 3,000 permits per year.
Okay, so 60% of them are just right over the counter like that.
Yeah, that's close to 2,000 permits of the 3,000 would be over the counter.
Okay, so now after I've enclosed, getting the stuff for enclosing my carport and making it a garage, I thought, makes this side of the house look small. So I need to expand this side of the house.
Yes, I have that experience. When you remodel, then everything else looks old, and so you have to go back and improve. So now you get into something a little more complex. You may need to prepare a set of plans and submit those, and we may not have time over the counter to review those, so those come in for plan check. And we have goal turnaround times. I know one of the things that I often hear in the community is how long it takes to get a building permit. And so we have goal review turnaround times. We can't guarantee because our workload tends to fluctuate. We're busier in the summer than in the winter. And sometimes five permit applications come in an hour and sometimes none in an hour. So we try to turn those around. So something like that would be 5 to 10 days that we would turn that around.
Where am I hearing these 6 months to a year?
Well, what we do, even if you go as the longest permit would be for a large commercial building, our turnaround goals are 4 weeks for the first review and then 2 weeks for second and third reviews. So a typical large project, you would expect to go through three reviews. So the city would actually have those plans a total of 8 weeks. But in between the first review and the resubmittal for the second, that's on the permit applicant. So part of that time is their engineers, their architects, responding to the plan check comments, providing additional information that they need to get those plans to the point that we can issue a permit.
Now, have you had permits, people applying for permits that have languished there for any reason?
Sure. They languish for many reasons. If somebody's really hot to start construction, we work with them. We try to meet their turnaround times and get things out. But sometimes, permits will languish or applications will languish because of factors that are outside of our control. Maybe there's financing issues, the owner's working with the bank, and there's no real rush on the permit because they're trying to get all the money in line. There's a recent building here, the old Greyhound bus station. That one sat for, I think, a year while they were out looking for tenants
ready to start construction today on
it. I believe
they
are.
Did I see that?
They've already started construction. They've been out there with excavators and doing some of their groundwork. So we're not holding that up. It's just other factors out there.
What would hold it up from your side? Because, see, that's what we hear. You know, I can understand exactly what you're saying. 60% of them go right over the counter because it's easy. And then the process is you're trying to do it in 8 weeks. But you don't have – you can't say anything about what happens to the other side, who may take 2 or 3 weeks to get it back to you.
Or 6 months.
Or 6 months or whatever. Yes. What would be a reason that it would come to you and y'all would – Well, it wouldn't come back out.
A building permit is what we call a ministerial permit. And what that means is if you provide us with plans and calculations and specifications that show that those plans meet the building codes, by law, we have to issue the building permit. We cannot deny that permit. So to come in like that, the only reason we could deny it is if there's something that doesn't meet code. So if the, you know, you need a 6x6 post and the plans show a 4x4 post, we couldn't issue the permit until you correct that.
I understand that. But so there's nothing on your side? I mean, lack of people or anything like that? I mean, when they start cutting.
Yeah, the lack of people affects the turnaround time. So if, you know, our goal is to turn around a commercial building in 4 weeks and it maybe takes 5 or even 6, that would be a staffing issue. So, yeah, a couple interesting things. When we went through the cutbacks during the recession, we lost about 50% of our staff in our department. And on top of that, we have furloughs every other Friday. So our resources are way down from where they were. But also, workload is down, and it's come back up, but it's not back to the pre-recession levels. So that's helped balance a little bit. But we recently, in the last year or so, we have kind of crossed that line where we're really struggling to keep with those timelines. And one of the things we do is we have an outside plan check consultant, and we send work down to them every week. Work goes down to the Bay Area. This is a firm that works all over the Western United States and does plan check. That's their business. That's their specialty. And they help us keep up with that. And then if somebody wants to get a building permit and it's a new commercial building and they want it in 4 days, we try not to say no. And we find a way for them to work with that consultant. And if that consultant can work overtime, bring in extra engineers, whatever it takes to try and meet their needs, we try to do that.
Who pays for that?
They would pay for the extra cost. We pay for when
the basic cost.
Yeah, we pay for the basic cost when it's just us trying to keep within our plan review goals. If you want something faster than that and you want to pay the additional cost for that, we'll step out of the way and allow you to do that.
I've done that before, working with the government to do that. I bought computers and overtime for people, but yes, this wasn't in America.
It's a very effective tool, and what you'll find is you could have a $6 million project, and whatever the interest on $6 million is in 30 days, and for an extra $1,500, you can get through the permit process in 3 days. It's a great deal.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Our guest is Bill Nagel, who is the director of development department of the city of Reading. We're talking permits, and also some of the questions coming back is, what is the current cost of the permits to build an average size family home in Reading? When we come back, we'll answer that one, plus a couple others. We'll be right back.
Phil's Propeller has been known as the premier fishing tackle store in the North State. Phil's Propeller also carries a large selection of ammunition, including American Eagle pistol and rifle ammo, Federal pistol, rifle, and shotgun ammo, as well as Estate shotgun ammo. Stop by their store on Twin View Boulevard and check out their great everyday prices on all their American Eagle, Federal, and Estate ammunition, and they always meet or beat any other prices in town. Now through Sunday, October 26th, take advantage of these everyday low prices, plus pay no sales tax on all items in the store. It's not too early to plan that very special gift for the outdoor enthusiast in your life this Christmas. And what better than cool stuff like ammunition and fishing gear for their favorite sport? After all, for over 30 years, Phil's Propeller has carried all the right stuff and has the most knowledgeable staff to help you make every fishing trip a total success, and all at the best prices in the North State. So whether it's your favorite Federal, American Eagle, or Estate ammunition, or the latest technology in fishing tackle, electronics, or fishing gear, shop Phil's Propeller before the 26th and save the sales tax on all your purchases. Phil's Propeller. Take the Pine Grove exit off I-5 to Twin View Boulevard for all the right stuff. Ammo limited to stock on hand.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
Going shopping?
Sure.
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
Hello, this is Frank Strazzarino, president of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Did you know that when you buy goods and services in Reading, you are supporting a local business, its owner, and employees in these tough economic times, and your tax dollars give us better police and fire protection, maintain our roads, parks, and trail system, and contribute to our Reading quality of life.
Going shopping?
Explore the choices.
And shop Reading.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Yeah, 8:34, October the 22nd. It's Hump Day. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Our guest, Bill Nagel, who is the director of the Development Division, Department of
Services.
The City of Red, Department Services. Okay.
Development Services.
I am just totally lost today. It all started when Phyllis Schlafly got on.
He said, let's get going!
Yes, ma'am. You know, it's like she's 90 years old. I hope when I'm 90 that I'm just not sitting someplace drooling on myself. This woman is writing books.
Yes, okay. That's amazing.
Isn't it? I'll tell you what. Okay, Bill, question came in is, what is the current cost of a permit to build an average-sized family house in Reading?
Well, the total cost for permit fees would be about $30,000, and of that $30,000, just a small part of that would be for service fees like plan check and building inspections, and that's maybe $5,000 of it, and that goes for the actual cost of providing that service. Another portion of it goes to the school district. It's not something the city collects. That goes directly to the school district, and that helps them
to build
schools. I can never keep track. It's close to $4 a square foot now. So on a, say, 2,000 square foot house, you're talking 8,000, 7,500, something like that.
Let's just say 8,000 a school district.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other impact fees that would come into play would be traffic impact fees and water and sewer impact fees. And so we've had a recent, as you may be aware, a year and a half, 2 years ago, we thought that maybe those fees were a little high and no longer in touch since the recession. So we made a major effort. We brought in a consultant. We had a citizens advisory group, and we looked at the laws that govern those types of fees, and we re-looked at that, and we reworked it, and it went to council, and council adopted new fees, which on a single family house were ended up about $1,000 lower than they were before.
Okay, so the traffic impact fees, if you build a house already in a subdivision, do you have to do the
yes,
traffic
in our general plan, we have a policy that says new growth should pay its way in terms of infrastructure. So if you build a new house, that means more cars, more trips around town, more impact to intersections and streets. So there's that portion that goes into that fund. And what we did is we picked projects with the advisory group, and we prioritized them, grabbed the top 20 and prioritized them in order of importance and figured out how much those cost. And then we looked at our growth projections and came up with a number that will allow us to do that over the next 20 years.
So if I'm kicking my kids out of the house by building a new house someplace else, they're still here. They've been driving around all the time. Now they're just in a new house.
But I have to pay for traffic impact?
Yes, unfortunately. And if they're in college, you still have to pay school impact fees for the grammar school.
You know what? I don't fight that one at all because, you know, frankly, you know what? If they don't get a good education, you know, that's just part of it. I understand that part.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the sewer thing. So this is – all right. About 2 years ago, I think – was it 2 years ago that they had a moratorium?
Yes.
And the building or the construction just – was it was just shot straight up. What was the impact on us with that?
Well, what happened, if you look at the numbers, we were cruising along and everything was looking good, and then about 2008 the recession hit and construction started to fall. Redding's always been a little behind the Bay Area and Sacramento in terms mm-hmm. of trends. So when things pick up, it takes us another year or two before things pick up in Redding. And likewise, on the other side, when things dropped off in 2008, we were still doing pretty good in 2008 and 2009. Our low year was 2011. In that year, council adopted an impact fee waiver program, and it affected 200 new homes. Uh-huh. And we started off the first 100. We waived traffic and sewer impact fees,
which was
to the tune of about $12,500.
Okay, that was
on
per house.
Per house,
okay.
On 100 houses. So what's that, $1.25 million?
Yeah, something like that.
And then we did it was so popular, we did another 50 homes. We only did half a waiver, so $6,250. And then after that, we did another 50 homes, and those were a quarter waiver, so $3,125. So all in all, it was something like $1.7 million in funds that didn't make it to impact fee funds. But that really did have an immediate effect in spurring construction on single-family homes. And if you go back and calculate, you know, how much it you pay the guy to put the carpet in and the plumber and electrician and the roofer and how much money that pumped into our local economy, it's a fairly large number. I think we estimated about $14 million. For the first 100 homes.
Okay, so $14 million was pumped into our economy
mm-hmm.
at the cost of $1.5 million. Or no, when you add them all up, it was probably about $2 million,
1.7,
right?
Yeah, say $2
million. Let's just say $2 million. So that's a plus of $12
million. Well, it is, but then
– I'm making this too simple, aren't I?
It's not sustainable. And the reason for that is let's look at sewers because that's maybe an easier one to explain, is we have a sewer treatment plant that – And pick simple numbers. Maybe it can serve 10,000 homes. And so if you don't charge these fees, the intent is as you pay as you go. So when people pay into that fund, that allows us to expand the capacity of that plant. So if you don't pay in along the ways, all of a sudden you hit 10,000 homes, you run out of room in the sewer plant. And so to build the first home after 10,000, you can't do it because you don't have sewer capacity. And you say, let's add sewer capacity. What does that cost? Then that might be $14 million, and nobody's going to pay $14 million to expand a plant to build one home.
Yeah, so my sewer fees are $14 million?
Yes, you've effectively killed development.
So you
have to be really careful with that.
But there could be a program, I mean, a well-thought-out program, and I'm sure that you all could come up with something like this that – that it helps the building trade, because as somebody said, Kurt Largent said, and we just had Joe Comenta here, who
mm-hmm.
said, you know, construction is big here. I mean, that's our manufacturing in this
city
is construction. Is there a way that the city council, if they can ever, you know, agree on this, to come down and find a way of, okay, we're going to reduce these fees or we're going to cut these fees this month, and then, you know, so it kind of like really pushes and then bring them back up?
Absolutely. Ultimately, it's council's decision on what impact fee levels that they wish to adopt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we go through, we hired the consultant. We went through that effort with the Citizens Advisory Group, and staff makes recommendations, and ultimately it was council's decision. So, yes, you can drop those fees, but like I said, you have to be careful. Nobody can deny that it costs money to treat sewage
and have the
facilities, so it has to be paid for somehow.
This is going to be – oh, no, and you're right, and it has to be a well-thought-out plan.
Is it general fund? Is it existing ratepayers? Or is it new developers? Or what kind of a balance, what kind of a mix do you want?
Have we raised our sewer fees? I think we have, haven't we?
You know, yes, I believe our sewer impact fees went up very slightly, like maybe 100, 200, something like that. And water, the water impact fees on a house.
I've noticed my bill was a little bit higher. I didn't realize that.
Oh, no, you're talking rates. So right. there's impact fees and there's rates. And yes, you're right. At the same time that we did the impact fee study, we also did a rate study. And so our utility department, they put together what they call a master plan for their sewer. And, you know, this is how it's funded. You need money for maintenance. You need money for new expansion. Part of the rate payers will pay for some expansion, and then the impact fees will pay for the rest. And they run that through their formulas and come up with what the monthly rate is for sewer fees.
Okay. So I'm seeing everything in here from legal extortion to other things, too. But I'm glad we're talking about this because it's understandable. And where $14 million was pumped into the economy at the cost of $2 million in fees, somebody's got to pay the piper at some point.
That's correct.
I mean, you've got to. I mean, you can't just continue to there's got to be ways of expanding services or fixing services that are there, because we've got a lot of old sewer pipes.
Right.
And, I mean, from what, the 20s?
And you're right. We do. And the part of the master plan for the sewers has a program to go in and repair those. But that comes under the classification of maintenance. So the impact fees cannot go towards maintenance.
Right.
Go towards expansion of the plant, which will help add capacity for that new development.
What if we start losing population? What happens then?
Well, if we start losing population, then I guess we wouldn't have a need to build new homes, and then nobody would pay into that fund, and we wouldn't need to expand.
Bill, y'all are doing studies, obviously, because you've got to keep up in front of this. You've got to keep building. What's the estimates of our population in 5-10 years?
You know, I don't have the exact numbers. I know we're in the low 90s, somewhere around 92,000.
Something like that.
And I think for our projections, we were fairly conservative in our projected growth was, you know, under 2% or around 2%. So it wasn't a huge growth rate. Yeah.
Okay. My guest, Bill Nagel, who is the director of development department. Development services for the city of Reading. We're going to come back. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk about about code enforcement, because that seems
great
to be a real big thing right now.
That's a hot topic.
It is. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wind River. Linda's going out there on November the 6th. Lady Bot and the Bluebirds at the Wind River Casino and Resort. She was there the first Thursday of each month. She was there last October, she was there earlier this month, and she's going to be there November 6th. 7 to 9 p.m. It's Romance on the River in the Elements Lounge, but you're going to need reservations there because it fills up. 243-3377, 243-3377. Ask for Romance on the River in the Elements Lounge. We'll be right back. Bill Nagel is our guest.
Is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it's unfortunate that the Reading Peace Officers Association does not value volunteers in policing. Most cities in America do. In fact, I think it's one of Reading's strongest attributes. Quality people is what Reading is all about. And while the Chief and I have had some early scheduling conflicts, I can assure you we are meeting weekly. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, candidate for Reading City Council. Our city faces many issues. For instance, we need to unravel the crime problem we're all experiencing. This is not something we created. The state has released thousands of felons onto the streets of communities like ours. Burglaries and assaults are up, there are not enough police, and the jail is full. Some people are saying, let's raise the sales tax. That's not necessary at this time. There are viable options to hire more police now using money the city has in its coffers. Let's work with what we have before raising your taxes. Look, nobody has all the answers. I believe the people of Reading need a fresh, new voice on the city council, someone who understands how to negotiate and is willing to work with the other council members to move this city forward in a positive direction.
Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2014.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop, located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460. Carl Lindebach, good morning. It is 8:48 in the morning, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy is teaching class, and on his November 22nd, 23rd class, he's going to be donating every dollar to Liberty on the Border at Turtle Bay. So not only can you get a concealed carry permit, you can also write it off on taxes, and all the instructors are out there going to be doing it for free to help support this great exhibit down at Turtle Bay, Liberty on the Border, about the Civil War. Give him a call at 999-1822 or check out his website at readingccw.com. And also, you don't even need a firearm. You can Northern Firearms Instruction will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents. Can't beat that. So you're not sure which gun you should have. Well, he's going to have guns out there for you to shoot. All right. Our guest, Bill Nagel, and who is the Director of Development Services here in the city of Reading. It's the last break. I usually get it by then. Hey, Bill, code enforcement. How many code enforcement people do you have?
We have a code enforcement supervisor, and we have a code enforcement officer, and they get support from others in the city. But as far as full-time positions, it's those two.
Overrun?
Absolutely. Our work has completely changed. If you go back 10 years ago and look at what we did and you look today, it's completely different. And we're dealing with foreclosures, burned out buildings with transient issues, transient encampments in the canyons. And
because one of y'all have to go out there too, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're the ones that, if there's a property owner that's not cleaning up and not posting their property and not doing what they need to do to maintain that properly, we send them letters. There's a whole process that we go through that eventually could end in going to an administrative hearings in front of a three-member administrative hearings board that is picked by city council, and they would hear that and decide if in fact a violation exists, and if it does, they could impose penalties on the owner until they take care of those
right.
violations.
And has that happened yet?
Oh yeah, we try to take it's very time intensive for us to write the reports to go to that. We try to take the two worst cases every month that we have to that hearing.
It takes that long to do a month?
Yeah, we have. Oh well, no, it takes a lot longer than that. Actually, there's a thing that attorneys call due process, and we just being government, we can't go out there and we could tell people you need to clean it up, but we can't force them to. So we have to we send them a letter, would be the process, saying you have this violation and you need to clean it up by this date. And with that first letter, we try to be fairly friendly toned. Often people don't even know that they had a violation.
Understand. So how long, though, is the process?
Well, it can stretch out 6 months on something like that. Yeah, at least, yeah. because we, you know, then there'd be a second letter and then sometimes a third. And then at that point, we can either issue citations or make the choice to go to the Administrative Hearings Board, which in itself is about a 6 to 8 week process to get it to that board with all the public notices and preparation of the reports. And then when it gets to the board, they can't tell the property owner, you need to fix it by 5 o'clock. They have to give them what's called a reasonable amount of time. So usually that's 30 days to make those corrections. And at the end of 30 days, if they don't make those corrections, we still cannot force them to do that. So we can start to impose daily fines. Those orders will give us the authority. The city then could go in and make those corrections and lien the property for the cost of those fixes. And
wow. So we're talking about
a very complex,
extremely complex.
Yes, involves our city attorney's office on almost a daily basis when we get to that level.
What about these transient? I don't even call them transient camps. I'm calling them illegal camps because they are illegal. Is that correct?
Yes, they are. They're on private property. And
or city property. They're
illegal,
yes, right?
That's true. They're you know, I stand corrected.
Well, I don't mean to try and do that. I just wanted to make sure I was correct on that.
It's a good point. You're absolutely right. Some of them are on city property and some of them are on private property. The ones that are on city property, we take care of because that's our property and we're a, you know, responsible property owner. So we'll go out there and clean
that. You all have to go up with that too, or just
actually the police department does. Right. They have Officer Bob Brannon who just does a
this guy's a hero
job.
This
he really
guy's a
does.
Hero.
Yeah,
he needs to get Bob on that on here one day.
There you go. Yeah, he has quite a job. So he'll go in and he'll clean up on city property. Yeah. Sometimes he will on private property as time permits.
Well,
but
what Chief Paletti
really
has told me is he has written to people, these property owners,
mm-hmm.
and they've ignored other people writing to him. When he writes to them, they write back and they go, oh, my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so then they can give permission for the police to come in and clean out an illegal
right.
camp.
And if there's an owner that has property that the transients or illegals are camping on, if they post that property properly, that gives the police department the authority to go in there and issue citations for trespass.
Okay. What about these hotels that are filled with the Denizens of the Dark?
Well, the hotels have been I've been with the city almost just shy of 20 years now. And when I first came, hotels were a real problem here. We made a huge effort on them, and we actually got about 5 or 6 of them torn down. And the reason
– How long
those,
ago was that?
That was maybe in the late 90s, I believe.
Okay.
And
I haven't seen that since I've been here.
Yeah. Right. And you know what? We haven't received one complaint on any of the 5 that have been torn down. So it's a very effective when we get them to that point. But what happened is we got the worst of the worst, and those had deteriorated below a line. And that line is an economic line where it no longer makes sense to put money into it to fix it up because it would cost more to do that than build new. So the ones that are left are the ones that were above that line. And so it's been an ongoing thing. It's a bit frustrating on our part that we go in, we identify issues, and the owners are slow to correct. We sometimes go through the process all the way to administrative hearings, and then they take care of the problem. And then we walk away, and 6 months or a year later, we're back with similar problems again, and we have to start that whole process again. Most of our hotels right now, when we look at code enforcement, we look at housing codes and building codes and those types of things. There's many of them right now that really are not too bad when you look at it from that perspective. The problem is crime, and it's more of a
about health
police
codes?
Issue.
Who does health codes?
The county would do the health department stuff.
Because I think
and
that
we
the
have,
health, you might get them on health.
Well,
sooner.
They're working alongside with us, and the issues with health are, you know, we've had some issues with bed bugs in one particular downtown motel. And,
really?
And so they get involved in that, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's
probably
pretty
not
bad.
One, probably not one that I would put my family in, though, right?
No, I don't think so.
My favorite one is the one down the street here when I was walking by and the guy's hurling. He's throwing up over the – this is in the middle of the day, throwing up over the second story down on the parking lot. And I'm looking at all these people, guys coming in, they're bloody. And I'm thinking, well, this is in the middle of the day down here.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking,
what happens after 5 o'clock when everybody goes home?
Gosh, there's people we never see, but they're out there.
Yes.
Okay, Bill, we need to have you back on again sometime when we can work, because I really would like to really get into the point, you know, where a whole shelf now of codes and how hard this is. Do you have a way so that one person – I come in to get a – you know, to build something maybe a little bit bigger. Do I work with one person the whole time? Are there ways you can streamline this –
Yes.
To help people.
You know, you could come in and you can talk to somebody different every time if you want. We don't stop that. But always I recommend is, you know, there's a couple things, a couple basic principles, and communication is one of them. And what I've found helps projects that want building permits that work the best is get one point of contact on each side of the counter. So if there's an architect or an owner, whoever it is, that mm-hmm. they take the lead and that they work with somebody on our side, and everything gets funneled through that. And right. that helps avoid miscommunications. And then the other key is surround yourself with good people. If you hire qualified architects, qualified engineers, people that know what they are doing and have done projects similar to the ones that you're doing, things can go a lot smoother for you. As hiring an engineer that typically works on sewers and now all of a sudden they're doing a side job for a three-story office building.
Well, what about the fact that you've got engineers that are accredited by the state, right?
They're licensed by the state.
Licensed by the state.
Yes.
And then you have an engineer that's licensed by the state, too, in the same, you know, for construction. His plans have to be approved by your engineer.
Correct.
Is there a way, I mean, if he's already been approved by the state, I mean, he's already accredited by the state, just like your guy is, he still has to, I mean, you can't just, okay. I mean, is the city being held responsible, I guess, from
Yes, the state law actually requires that we review those plans and for conformance with the building code. So we're required by law, number one. And number two, the level of quality of plans is all over the chart. So, okay. You know, sometimes there's really good engineers that come out and you know their work's clean. And, mm-hmm. and you know, if we didn't review if you take the law away from things and we didn't review that, we'd probably be fine. But then there's the other side of the spectrum.
Not quite
and sometimes we'll see, you know, two pages of chicken scratch when we should see a binder of 40 pages of typed calculations.
Okay. It's not easy.
No.
So, okay, we've got like about a minute left. Anyway, so you recommend is that people, when they come down, it's just communication, is talk to people, and you've given us a lot of insight
yes,
on this.
Yes, and we're always happy to communicate, and I think the main thing is, you know, we don't want to be an obstruction. We want to help people through the process. It's a difficult process. We recognize that, but we will do what we can to help you through that.
And if they have a problem, they can call you.
Absolutely. I have an open door policy, and my number is very public, and anybody's welcome to call me anytime, and I'll make sure that things go smooth for them.
Bill Nagel's been our guest. He's the director of the development services for the city of Reading, talking about permits, codes, enforcements, all those things. So thanks a lot for being here with us.
Okay, Carl, I appreciate you letting me on the show.
Well, it won't be the last time, Bill.
Great.
Hey, tomorrow we're going to be having a great time, too. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Back down. Gonna stand.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. There is breaking news out of Canada. The Canadian Parliament, and for that matter all of downtown Ottawa, is under lockdown following gunfire this morning on Parliament Hill. First, a Canadian soldier was shot and wounded at Canada's National War Memorial. Then the gunman ran toward the nearby Parliament complex, which is about 500 yards away, entered a building, and opened fire. There are reports, unconfirmed, of a gunman fatally shot inside Parliament, but there have also been reports of at least one additional gunman still at large. All of this comes just 2 days after two Canadian soldiers were run down, one of them killed near Montreal by a man with jihadist leanings. Yesterday, Canada's terror threat level was raised from low to medium. After almost 6 months as a prisoner in North Korea, Jeffrey Fowle is back home with his family in Ohio. Secretary of State John